Good morning, good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Monica T., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. And today is Friday, the 17th day of October, 2014. And today we're reading from the Big Book. We are in the Doctor's Opinion. We are on page XXVIII, 28. And we are going to be starting on the second paragraph, Frothy Emotional Appeal. And today's readers are the 12 Steps, Kathleen M., the 12 Traditions, Santa H., and then Sharon H., Janice M., and Anita L. And the share code for yesterday, Thursday, the 16th day of October, is 6960. 6960. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. This meeting's primary purpose is to abstain, to recover from compulsive overeating, and to carry this message of recovery to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Kathleen M. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Kathleen M., recovered in Virginia. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Number three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Yes.
Thank you, Kathleen. And I will now ask Santa H. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. My name is Santa H. from New Jersey. I'm grateful, recovered compulsive overeater, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Let problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principle before personalities pass.
Thank you, Santa. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature that we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinent requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinent requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. And we are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. And once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And right now we're having background noise. Someone is not muted. Thank you. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the doctor's opinion. We are on page XXVIII, and we are going to be starting with the second paragraph that begins frothy emotional appeal. And I will ask Sharon H. to start reading, please.
Good morning, Monica. This is Sharon H. in Colorado, recovered compulsive overeater, and welcome to everyone on the line. Frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. The message which can interest and hold these alcoholic people must have depth and weight. In nearly all cases, their ideals must be grounded in a power greater than themselves if they are to recreate their lives. And, of course, I have this all highlighted, and I have fact and truth on both sides of the margin. Because for many years I did have that frothy emotional appeal. I kept saying, God, please help me. I don't want to keep eating like this, and would pray to God. But then, I would just go back out over and over again and take that first bite. And so when I started listening to this meeting, and it was in July of 2012, it was just like God shined a laser light beam into my mind that somehow I had missed the foundation that would carry the weight and depth that was required. And that was, I did have to accept to the core of my being that I did have a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, and that would not change, and that there was a solution if I was willing to grasp onto it and then follow the directions in this book. And that was the depth and weight that was missing for me. And I'm just so grateful that that happened when it did. And then our ideals must be grounded in a power greater than themselves if we are to recreate our lives. And that's what happened as a result of being willing then to follow the exact directions in this book. I was told to treat it as a textbook, I got up every morning and made notes. I listened like I hadn't ever listened in a long, long time, one paragraph at a time, one line at a time. And I am just so grateful to see what has happened. So for me, it was like I wanted this so much, but I was like I was appealing to God, but then I had no power because I was still trying to do it in my own strength. And I was still trying to believe without even understanding it at a conscious level that somehow, some way, someday I would be able to eat like a normal person, because that was the lie I was still telling myself, that I just had to learn how to do that, and then I could manage those foods that always led me back down the dark road of the cycle of addiction. And I am just so grateful for this program and that it has given me that ability to see the truth as it is, accept it the way it is, and then have the strength that I didn't have and the power that I didn't have before to follow these directions, work the steps, and now as a result, I'm living in steps 10, 11, 12, and I take that very serious for the day. I used to just kind of drop off after step 9, but now I realize I must continue to live in step 10, 11, and 12 because I can still get restless, irritable, and discontent. Yesterday at the gas station, I was annoyed with the guy in back of me because he was just behind me waiting to get, you know, the next one in line at the pump I was at. And he wouldn't back up far enough. And, you know, I backed into a pole and I was so angry. And I was wanting to blame him for, you know, my not seeing this pole. And so that was a perfect example of having to do a step 10 and let that go. And so I'm just very grateful to be here today and grateful to all of you out on the line. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Monica.
Thanks, Sharon. And would anyone like to share on this paragraph?
Kim.
Kim.
Kristen.
Larry.
Liz.
Liz. Okay. Kim, Larry, and Liz. Kim, you're up.
Good morning, Monica. Good morning, all. My name is Kim G, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. You know, frothy emotional appeal versus depth and weight. You know, frothy emotional appeal is what people who don't have our problem give us. They give us all that great advice. You know, push away from the table. Only eat half. You know, just use your willpower. And depth and weight is what we hear from someone who suffers from our disease. That's that idea of experience, strength, and hope. But we have to be real clear that the experience is very specific. The experience is me as a compulsive overeater. You know, I think often what I hear in the rooms and what I did was I shared my experience about my life. And if that's all I'm sharing, then that means I'm only going to be able to help people that are, you know, women that are in their late 40s, who have never been married, who don't have children, who went through 12 years of Catholic school, who's the oldest of three children. And that experience is my life, but that experience does not have depth and weight as far as being a compulsive overeater. So what the depth and weight is I know what it means to suffer from compulsive overeating. I know what it means to white knuckle it through a day at work where they're having donuts at an office party, and you make it through only for the next day to see the donuts at the top of the trash and to eat those donuts. I know what it's like to pick babysitting jobs, not by what the kids are like, but what food is in the pantry. And to sit there at the job and take 3 Oreos and say, I'm not going to have any more, and then take 3 more and take 3 more and have to put the Oreos to the front of the sleeve because you don't want the people you're babysitting for to know that you've eaten all their food. I know what it's like to only have mirrors from the neck up because you don't want to see the truth of all the weight that you've gained. I know what it's like to be a human calculator and know exactly how many calories are in a Snickers bar versus how many calories on an elliptical machine you have to burn it off. I know what it's like to get that high off of starving yourself all day long and feeling that power that you don't have to eat, but all you're really trying to do is earn the idea that you can binge tomorrow. That's the message of depth and weight. And why that has depth and weight is because I know what that's like, and I am not there anymore. Today, I do not want to eat my binge foods. That's the miracle of Overeaters Anonymous. Not that I've been given the ability to white-knuckle it through the day and go to bed exhausted, but the food doesn't own me anymore. I am no longer a slave to the food, and I am no longer a slave to abstinence. You know, I'm going to Florida this weekend to visit my brother. And I have no fear about going to Florida. I have no fear about that I have to avoid people, places, and things in order to stay abstinent. Because I have a connection with a higher power today that I can go to Florida this weekend and enjoy my family. Enjoy my family. And the last thing, death and weight is not about sharing relapse. How many times are we in meetings where all we hear is about relapse, relapse, relapse? That is not depth and weight. Depth and weight is, yes, today I'm a compulsive overeater, and absolutely I no longer suffer from compulsive overeating. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Kim. Larry, you're up.
Good morning, Monica. Larry, recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. Boy, I binge my brains out in Florida, that's for sure. Frothy, what is frothy? Frothy is... you know, it's insubstantial, of little substance, you know, somewhat superficial. Yes, frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. So the translation for me is people that don't understand me can't keep us sober or fix us. So nothing anybody says has the power to restore me to sanity. You know, trying to plead with me to put the food down, some of the ways Kim talked about. You know, Larry, show some self-respect for gosh sakes. Apply your willpower. Be a man. You know, these are entirely useless to a compulsive overeater of my variety. You know, Larry, why do you eat so much? I mean, you know, you're wasting your God-given talent. Or how about this one? Larry, don't you want to be around to dance at your daughter's wedding someday? Oh, my gosh. That hit cut to the core right there. But all this frothy emotional appeal, you know, while it should make a difference, it never did. See, what I would submit to you is that, you know, it's like telling someone with stage 4 cancer to just, you know, buck up, apply some willpower to this malady. What's the matter with you? You know, Larry, this insidious cancer that has invaded your body, caused you emotional and physical pain, it's all in your head. If you just choose to think your way out of it, I mean, you have everything to live for, Larry. Don't you want to dance at your daughter's wedding? Insanity, you know, right? So non-addicts, however well-intentioned, and they're all well-intentioned, have zero understanding of the twofold nature of my disease. If you're like me, and you might not be, if you're a true compulsive overeater, believe me, I'm the real deal, I could offer you $1 billion to stay stopped, and I assure you, you couldn't do it. Not a chance, if you like me. Only a complete psychic change, a vital spiritual transformation will be sufficient to resurrect you from the gates of death. You know, this transformation must be grounded in a power greater than you. It's a choice, death or life, and it's a personal choice, not simply reserved for the chosen ones. You, every one of us on the line today, if you're hearing this message, you can indeed recover provided you apply the specific set of spiritual actions suggested in the Big Book. It, you know, it says it's simple but not easy. A price had to be paid. What price? Destruction of self-will. The annihilation of ego. Abstinence alone will never, ever, ever, ever do it. The steps will serve to enable you to open a, maybe a sliver of a channel to God, and that's all it took for God to come flooding in to save my ass. With that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Larry. Liz, you're up.
Hi, this is Liz in New Hampshire. The second part of this paragraph is what actually really moves me. Their ideals must be grounded in a power greater than self, if they are to recreate their lives. And it's that recreate their lives that I find actually very exciting, because that's precisely what I need to do. But I first have to surrender myself to a power greater than myself. And once I do that, then I have an opportunity to have a new life. But I have to get out of the way first. I have to completely surrender myself to another power, because if I'm in my way, I'm going to continue with the life that I have, and abstinent or not, I will continue living the way I've been living. But if I surrender myself to this process, to a higher power, I will be able to have a new life. I will be able to have a life that is recreated. And I find that tremendously promising. And I actually think that is a promise that's right here in the Dodger's opinion. And I wanted to really say that and focus on that because it offers me great hope. And that's why I'm going through this process, because I don't have a plan for my future, but I do believe my higher power does. By doing what I'm told to do, by following the steps that are in this big book, I will have a new life. And I want to say that.
Thank you, Liz. Would anyone else like to comment on
Rabia.
This paragraph?
Kristen?
Rabia? Wait a minute. I heard Rabia. Somebody after Rabia.
Oh, Kristen. Monica, this is Kristen.
Kristen, okay.
And then Vasa.
And then Vasa. Okay. Rabia, Kristen, and Vasa. You're up, Rabia.
Good morning, fellow visionaries. My name is Rabia, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater and smiling from ear to ear because, oh, first of all, I'm feeling the depth of God's power and love on this line through all of us, and so grateful for my new life of a recovered compulsive overeater. And I was just thinking of how a community grows up around us. And I know Kristen won't mind me saying this. She's my fellow face-to-face visionary here at home. And we're able now to say, I just got a call from a suffering compulsive overeater 2 days ago, and I was able to say to her, meet me tonight at a meeting. There'll be three of us there who are recovered. And recently, who were in the food, face down the food 5 months ago, and come be with us and meet us, and we'll help you through this. Like, can you even imagine such a thing? I've been in the rooms of OA for decades, and I never even knew what recovered looked like or felt like, and to offer this to somebody, and now she's joining us, and oh, my goodness. So let me just take a breath. What I want to share on, and in just a minute, I know I've used up a lot of my time, is so here is the fifth must already. We're on XXVIII. We're still in the Roman numerals, and we're at our fifth must. People must have depth and weight. And right here is the sixth must. Must be grounded. And for a rebel like me, never wanting to be told what to do, these musts are such a comfort. I love these musts. I embrace them. I finally know exactly the precise instructions that I must do, and now I must pass on. And if you follow every single one of these musts for 7 weeks, with me and with a vision for you and in this big book, you will be recovered also. What an unbelievable gift to pass on. You know, what a life of recovery. And I, too, am traveling tomorrow. I will be in Atlanta for a week. We'll visit our daughter, and I'm just so happy to be going to visit her. And the first thing we're doing, she picks up our stuff from the airport, and on our way home, we stop at Trader Joe's, and I'm so happy to do that because we love to eat healthily, and of course my daughter was a binge buddy of mine. You know, she's 34 years old now, so you can just imagine. We all know that, and so. Here we go, you know, a beautiful, beautiful week ahead of family and love and healthy food and a vision for you in the morning, because I can take my program everywhere and a community building up around us. And I'll pass because I can't wait to hear Kristen. Bye.
Thank you, Rabia. Kristen, you're up.
Hi, Monica, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Hi, everybody. My name is Kristen. I am a newly recovered compulsive overeater from, and it's Kristen K. from New York. I want to, first of all, just thank everybody for being on the call this morning. Actually, this is my first time calling in. I've listened, obviously, for the last several months, but this is my first time actually calling in and sharing. So I just I had to share. I was when I knew we were on this paragraph, I purposely made myself available to get on the call this morning because I love this paragraph. I remember a year ago I was introduced to the Big Book and, you know, especially the doctor's opinion, and I remember reading this paragraph and like the frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. And, you know, just the musts, the two musts in this small paragraph and the depth and weight. And I, even then I was drawn in. However, I wasn't really committed. You know, unfortunately, I had to go out and do more experimentation and do more research and be, hit a greater bottom with the food in order for me to come back to this fellowship crawling to my, you know, and I was grateful I found someone that was able to guide me through, you know, be a guide to me through this, to give me that depth and weight, because I was under frothy emotional appeal. I still thought I could do this with a diet. I still thought, you know, again, you hear a lot of I, right? So I still thought, and, you know, I couldn't, and, you know, it took a good friend of mine in my other program to be like, Kristen, you know, I think you really need to go back to OA. And then through OA, I you know, and through recovery, I found my guide. And, you know, and I've been saying for a long time in my program that, like, I know the Big Book. I know this is the answer, but I didn't know how to get the answer. I didn't know how to, you know, get to that point. And so I'm just grateful that, like, it's so clear. Must have depth and weight. You know, here's the, for alcoholic people, must have depth and weight. And the depth and weight for me has definitely been going through, and I've been in recovery in, like, another fellowship for many, many years, and I never, no one ever talks about the Big Book. I don't understand, you know? And it's just, it does, it lights me up today. You know, I was able to take someone through the doctor's opinion last night. I mean, you know, it just, it must have depth and weight, and that's through this text. And then again, their ideals must be grounded in a power greater than themselves. And for me, that my higher power has definitely brought me to this point, is definitely talks to me through all of you, through the words of this text this morning. And like someone else said on the line, you know, that they are to recreate their lives. You know, that is a promise. You know, we hear, and I'll end with this, you know, on the, when we first open the text, it says how 100,000, how many thousands of men and women have recovered from alcoholism. And then here it talks about they are to recreate their lives. Like, this, these are promises. They are telling you, you go through this, your life will be changed forever. And, you know, with the help of a higher power and all of you, I'm really grateful to be on the call this morning. Thanks. I pass.
Thank you, Kristen. Vasa, you're up.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Monica, for your service, and thank you, everybody, for being here. And I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater calling from Foxborough, Massachusetts. And I'm just so grateful I started the Big Book, and I remember questioning my sponsor in those years. But I don't drink, you know? She said, that's okay, just cross alcohol and put food on the top. And that's what I did. I substitute a food for the alcohol. She said the disease is the same thing, you know. No, like, I was not in the gutters. I was not homeless, you know. I didn't get to that point, but it was getting progressive for me, and I don't know where I'd be today if I kept on doing what I was doing. So my idea had to be smashed doing it by myself. It just did not work. It's not like I didn't try. I tried over and over all kinds of different diets. I experimented with the food, especially with the sugars. like the alcohol, like putting milk in the alcohol to thin it out or not to make it as strong. I did all that, but I still could not do it, you know, by myself. And I felt relieved in many, many ways that, you know, I needed to find a power greater than myself to help me. And at that time, I was just so ready. You know, I said, I didn't say this to my sponsor, but in my mind, I remember saying, you know, I don't care who does it for me as long as I don't have to do it by myself. I just surrendered. It just did not work. You know, I was in so much pain. And she said, surrender and work the steps the way they are laid out. And that was the key for me. And this is what I must do, follow the directions. And it's all here. It's all laid out in the big book. And I remember she would say, just bring the body, the mind is going to follow. You know, don't ask too many questions. You know, just listen. And do. And that's what I did. And that's what has worked for me. And I am just so, so grateful. And you know what? If I was at a meeting, I still have a hard time leading meetings, you know, like OA meetings. I like small groups up to 20, 30, or 40 people. But if I was in a group like this with 150 or 200 people, I'd be so, like, afraid that, you know, my fear would probably stop me from sharing my experience and strength and hope. It's so much easier for me to share because there's not this big, huge crowd in front of me. But anyways, I couldn't even read the tools at the beginning of my program. So little by little, God gave me the strength and the courage to just open up. And other people, they had the same fears and they had the same worries as I did. And I could see the courage in them. And God started giving me that power within myself that I never had. Thank you for letting me share in our path.
Thank you, Vasa.
Hi, this is Kathy in Boston. May I share?
Yes. Your name again?
Kathy in Boston.
Kathy. Oh, I'm sorry.
Hi,
Kathy.
Renata.
Okay, thank you, Monica, for your service, and hi to everybody on the line. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm really struck by this sentence. Their ideals must be grounded in a power greater than themselves if they are to recreate their lives. So, you know, when I first read that sentence, it did not give me hope because I was a confirmed agnostic for many, many years, and I really struggled with this idea. And thank you, God, my step study sponsor helped me work on it. She made several suggestions, which I just want to repeat here. One was to ask others who are recovered their conception of their higher power, as well as the process by which they found a relationship with a higher power. She also asked me to write a description of my higher power, or a job definition, what it was that I needed my higher power to do for me. And so I engaged on a process of exploration. And as I work through steps 2 and 3 in particular, I did find that power greater than myself who could give me depth and weight and the power to abstain from compulsive overeating and to do the inventory work required in order to recreate my life. So I just wanted to point out this is a powerful statement. And it also can be a bit intimidating for those who start out with no conception of a higher power at all. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Kathy. Kathy and Renata, I did hear you earlier. You're up.
This is Peggy.
And now I hear a Peggy. Renata, are you available?
Yes.
You're up.
Yes.
And then Peggy.
Hi, Monica.
Yes. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. This is Renata, recovered compulsive overeater in New York. I also want to focus on their ideals must be grounded in a power greater than themselves if they are to recreate their lives. You know, like we read in the paragraph before, you know, my life was unmanageable, right? I had problems that become astonishingly difficult to solve. And so if I really believe, if I really live an unmanageable life, I need to recreate my life. I need to have a new life. And the only way to do it is through a power greater than me. I can't do it on my own. You know, I want to read a passage on page 43, paragraph 3. It says, once more, the alcoholic at certain times has no effective mental defense against the first drink. Except in a few rare cases, neither he or any other human being can provide such a defense. His defense must come from a higher power. You know, like in the beginning of the paragraph back on Doctor's Opinion, it says, frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. And for me, the best example of that is like when I took diet pills. Because that took away the desire to eat. I could not eat if I took those pills. But that obsession of the mind, it was so strong that when I really needed to eat, I didn't take the pills. And, you know, that proves to me that no matter what I use, like whatever human power, whatever human resource I use, it didn't solve my problems. It didn't keep me away from the food. And my only hope is to have a power greater than me that can restore me to sanity. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Renata. Peggy, you're up.
This is
Peggy, a compulsive overeater in Boston. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I like this paragraph about needing a power greater than ourselves to restore us. I have come to respect the power of the addiction recently, the way you respect the power of a hurricane. It's really strong. I recently had an experience where I would have severe dehydration. And I could drink a gallon of water and still not feel right. And it was accompanied by muscle pain and joint pain. And I heard someone on the special edition talk about having arthritic symptoms as a result of foods that she was eating that were bad for her. So I examined what I was eating before I had these bouts of dehydration, and I was able to identify it was Greek yogurt. So I stopped eating the Greek yogurt. I don't need it. There's plenty of other food. But when I was out doing a little extra research, I started having the muscle pain and joint pain again. I thought, oh, well, what is this about? And I realized it was bread. And I was not able to say, to just put it down. And I found myself in that peculiar situation where I was watching myself doing something I did not want to do, that I said I wasn't going to do, that was causing me physical and psychic pain. And it was only when I was entirely abstinent from flour that I could stay away from those foods. So that the power of the addiction is so strong. You've got to have a counterweight to that. You've got to have another power stronger than that one to recover. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Peggy. Okay. And Sue G., I heard Sue G. earlier.
Can I share after?
I didn't hear your name.
Rakefet.
Okay. Sue G., you're up.
Okay, Monica and everybody else. Thanks so much, everybody, for sharing. So this paragraph is great. It goes from the frothy emotional appeal to the being grounded in a power greater than themselves to recreate their lives. Wow. Ooh, so let's see. So I'm going to try to relate this beautiful writing to personal experience. So my family was the place of frothy emotional teal and also lots of God. There was lots of God there, but I was sure into the frothy emotional teal. So it went something like this. It was a Jewish family. So I love the story of the Jews that I heard. The story of the Jews is they tried to kill us. They failed. Let's eat. Oh, boy, let's eat. So sitting at the table is Bernie, Ruthie, and Susie. That's me as a child. And Bernie says to Ruthie, stop buying Susan cookies. And Ruthie just sort of looks at him with a little glaring expression and goes to the grocery store and buys some more cookies. And Susan, to my father. So Susan says, I can go to the store and buy my own cookies. I don't need Mom to buy them. And there's this blame game that's going on, and it's just horrible. And everybody's at fault, including me, especially me. Ooh, I'm drowning in the blame game. And I'm full of frothy emotional appeal. I can buy my own cookies. Mommy can't suppress me anymore. Woo, it's all her fault. And then 23 years ago, I moved from Boston to Philly. I now realize in my recovered state, what I realize is I stopped fixing my mom, who was a food addict, a mild food addict like me and a heavy-duty codependent like me, too. And so I came here, and I missed her hugely, and I started eating in earnest. I had never weighed as much as I did when I moved here, and I got fatter. And I stayed in obesity for the entire time I was here until I walked into the rooms of OA and I was surrendered because I'd been facing the demons and I was surrendered. Thank you, God. And all the frothy emotional appeal in the world wasn't working on me anymore as far as the food was concerned. But boy, oh boy, was the magic magnifying mind operating. And that's what can really kill us. It's that obsession and the magic magnifying mind that inflates us and deflates us and keeps us at the extremes of emotion. And that's frothy emotional appeal too. And where did I go when I came here? I have perspective. Here's my perspective. I came here and I came into OA between 2.5 and 3 years ago. The food was surrendered as best I could at the time. And what I realize now is I was willing to do the work of grief, that when you give up that food, the nastiest piece of work is also God's greatest gift to us, the God smack, the grief smack. Grief is a process by which you can give up your old behavior and start something a whole lot better, which is living your life as a recovered person. And to do that, you need to do the steps. The steps are our guide. They simplify it because I've got an incredible mind. It's filled with tricks and it's very magic and magnifying. And without God's help, I can't do that grief. But God gave me work to do. And we have grief. When you come in here, there's a big piece of grief putting down that food. And that is the work that you have to do with your higher power and with whoever can guide you through it here. And there are lots of us who are willing to take you through in whatever part you're ready to do. But that's my perspective in my recovery. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thanks, Suji. Excuse me. Rakefet, you're next. Rakefet?
Yeah, hi. It's Rakefet from California Recovered Compulsive Overeater. And I just wanted to talk about the last couple of days in the doctor's opinion. From the very beginning, actually, the doctor's opinion, so we've discussed this in depth the last few days, that I have a physical allergy. I have a physical allergy to any food that contains my binge foods ingredients or is unweighed. I also personally have a problem with unweighed food with quantity, so I always, everything I eat is weighed. But I learned that. We learned that in the doctor's opinions. We have a physical allergy, and as soon as I consume something, it doesn't matter how small, it doesn't matter how minute, as soon as I consume it, I'm off and running. My allergy has been triggered, and I'm back into my disease full force. And also, that will happen if I eat something that's unweighed. In my personal case, it's also if I eat some unweighed food that's extra, I will also go back into the hell of the physical allergy. So, what, you know, we, but that doesn't stop me. I know those things. I know those things intellectually. I know that. It's all been explained, and I know it from practice. It's happened to me many, many times. And so, refraining from consuming binge foods is not enough for me, because I will always go back to the binge foods. Yeah, I know that if I refrain totally, then I won't have a problem. But I can't refrain. No matter how hard I try, I can't refrain from picking up another binge food again. And that's because I'm a real alcoholic / compulsive overeater. And so this is telling me, thank goodness, that in order to stay stopped, in order to get my life back, in order to recover, there has to be more. There has to be more than refraining from my binge foods. Every form, every shape of my binge foods, there has to be more. And that's the message of Depth and Weight, and that is reliance on a power greater than myself. And, yeah, because the other part is not going to work. It's just not going to help. It's not enough. I need more, and I need a higher power. And that's what this is telling me. And this is what has helped me get beyond that uncontrollable craving of picking up my binge foods. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Rakefet. And this is Monica, and I'd like to jump in here for a minute or two. And this is Monica T. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. So what do I get out of this paragraph? Well, frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. Oh, my God. You know, yeah, I got the emotional appeal, the knowledge from the doctors and the friends and the family, but oh my God, what about my own frothy emotional appeal? I cried, I screamed, I hollered, I begged for years and years and years. Monica, today you're going to be a good girl. And it never worked. I am powerless. And I see here with what we've been learning from the doctor's opinion here in this paragraph, it's like, yeah, Monica, you're powerless. Decades showed me that I could not do this. Also showed me that no one else could do this for me. Pills couldn't do it. Doctors couldn't do it. Nobody else could do it for me. And they're saying in this paragraph, my goal, my aim, my ideals, my model must be grounded, must be based in a power greater than myself. Than myself here, that I am powerless. And so if that's the problem, I need the solution is a power greater than me. And that power is God. This is what the first 100 recovered alcoholics are telling us. This is what Dr. Silkworth in his little letter is saying to us here, that we need a power greater than us. And so I get out of this paragraph, in a sense, conclusion step one, I am powerless. Conclusion step two, therefore, I need a power greater than me. And decision step three, to turn towards working the rest of the steps, to turn towards a relationship, forming a relationship with this power greater than me by working the steps. And that made it easier for me. I was making a decision to continue through the process, to form this relationship with this power that was going to do for me what I could never do for myself. And with that, I'm going to pass. And would anyone else like to comment on this paragraph?
This is Liz. Can I share?
May I share?
Sorry, I didn't get either name. Was Liz the first one?
Yes, it was.
Liz. And then the second person?
Eileen C.
Eileen. Okay, Eileen C. Liz, go. You're up.
Okay, good morning. This is Liz. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater from Pennsylvania. And I wanted to relate what was read and what's been shared this morning to a statement on page 85 of the Big Book, which says, We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. And just thinking about that contrast between simply abstaining from my binge foods and finding a power greater than myself that can recreate my life. Because I went to a seminar once with a psychologist who was very opposed to the idea that compulsive overeating is an addiction like alcoholism. And I think what he was keying in on was the idea of swearing off, that, you know, people who swear off certain foods, they're not really recovering from the condition of compulsive overeating. And the difference that we find in AA and OA is that we're not swearing off. I'm not abstaining from those foods out of a diet mentality that I'm never going to eat them again, out of a sense of depriving myself or even having the power to abstain from them. Instead, the problem has been removed. So because I have found a power greater than myself that can recreate my life, I don't need to swear off from those foods because, by God's grace, the desire to return to them has been removed. And I do have a part to play by planning to avoid them in my daily food choices, but it's different from swearing off because the problem has been removed by God. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Liz. Eileen, you're up.
Hi, I'm Eileen C., grateful recovered compulsive eater from Ohio. And thank you, everyone, for what you shared. I am inspired and feel the presence of my higher powers. I always do when I, every morning, listening on this line. So maybe just to add more to what I've heard, my frothy emotional appeal was to God often. I was so desperate. I needed help, and I begged and said I'd never do it again. And it didn't suffice, and I've been in recovering in OA for many years before I came to this meeting came into my life, and had a long period of abstinence and relapsed last year. And when I began to work the steps according to the Big Book and to read this beautiful text, I just wanted to put this out as hope. I don't know if anyone else has had this experience, but I did have a relationship with a higher power even before I came to A Vision for You. But always this relationship grows. And when I was working on my, I guess what I want to say, is that I didn't know sometimes what that higher power was going to look like. It's like I knew I had to surrender, but I didn't know what that meant. How do I develop a relationship with a higher power? And it really wasn't until coming to A Vision for You that I realized that in step three I'm making a decision to, and maybe this has already been said already, a decision to go forward. And it was in that decision when I had this intuitive thought that said, made a decision to turn my life and my will over to the care of care. And I realized that I needed a higher power that was going to care about me. And something miraculous happened at that point, and my willingness to go on became very clear. And and for me, the beauty of the 12 steps is this is where I learned to surrender. Steps 4 through 9, through the rest of the steps, is where it's here. This is the path, the way I learned to surrender. I never knew what surrender was. I knew it was something I needed to do, but I didn't know how to do it. So just for me, it's just this beautiful process where this is what surrendering is, and this is where I learn and grow and get to know who my higher power is and deepen my relationship with my higher power. So thank you for letting me share, and thank you, everybody. And thanks, everyone, for your service. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Eileen. And with that, we have come to the end of our time here this morning. And I would like to thank everyone who has shared. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Janice, can you read for us, please, from A Vision for You?
I'd be glad to, Monica. Thank you. This is Janice M., recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you all. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.